everyone. Welcome to Hold My Pasties, Please. I'm your host, Layal, and today I am joined by our producer, Chaz, and BBC, the Black Bachelor Coach, is back. Welcome.
You might as well just call us all co-hosts at this point.
Yeah, co-hosts, number one, co-host number two.
Hootie-hoo!
That means we'll have to change on the website to a co-host.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Need a little bio and
I got
everything.
An upgrade. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me upgrade you.
Promotion.
Hey-o.
I'm really excited about today's episode because I feel like it's something that we can use in everyday life, whether it is with relationships or work or meeting somebody at the grocery store, random stuff. And today's topic is the art of persuasion or the power of persuasion and body language.
Yeah. I'm terrible at this, so I hope you have something good for me.
Chaz says he's terrible about everything.
Like, supposedly, like, 80% of all communication is nonverbal, or one of those numbers. It's pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
So you may think you're bad at it, but you're doing it anyway.
Yes.
So that's what I hear.
Yes, there are lots of things that are nonverbal. For example, eye contact. Like, what is too much eye contact? Or does that ever get awkward?
My eyes always get dry because I feel like I need to stare people in the eyes.
Do you ever feel like at an nonstop interview or something like where you're something, I don't know, stressful and you're like, do I
always look away? Anytime I'm in an interview, my eyes, I feel like I don't know when to blink. I don't know how much to blink. I want to look away. It's awkward.
BBC is a recruiter or has the history of recruiting.
Please give us some advice.
Please tell us.
Yeah. First of all, I'm really good at eye contact. I feel like sometimes I'm too intense, but that's just because I grew up in an intense environment. But eye contact, you can do it softly and still be consistent, or you can do it aggressively in short spurts. It's really up to you, and you just really got to match the energy. If someone's making stern eye contact to you with raised eyebrows or, you know, that pointed face, furrowed eyebrows, et cetera, you know, that's when you know it's intense and you just stay locked in. But if it's just a soft with a lot of blinky eyes and looking away and looking down, then yours needs to be soft as well, which I think is called mirroring, which is kind of some of the things that we've talked about in planning for this.
That's mm-hmm. smart. Yeah.
Yes, it shows agreement. So it also shows like you're kind of friendly, like people like when they're being mirrored. So if they're like arms are crossed, and I guess cross your arms or.
Yeah, I've actually heard that whenever you're crossing your arms, you're actually closing yourself off to people. And so whenever you sit more in a more open arm position, it's more inviting for people.
It looks defensive, right? And then also I read that to improve memory, uncross your arms and legs.
Interesting.
That was number 9 on my list, by
yeah.
the way.
It helps every blood
time,
flow, yeah.
Every time I go on dates, I'm like, let's improve memory.
See what you did there.
That definitely seems closed off because I can just remember like hanging out with females and they're always cold, but when their arms are crossed, I'm like, come on, what's the matter? Like, open up to me. And they're like, I'm just cold. And I'm like, oh, cold hearted, probably.
And that's when you give them your jacket, right?
Yeah, I've lost some jackets recently.
Chivalry is not dead.
It's never dead.
yeah, I guess not. I was going to say something, but I forgot.
You'll think of it, I'm sure. So I think that what you're saying is mirroring really helps, especially in situations like in an interview.
Yeah, in any social setting. And mirroring is not just physical. It's on the phone. Like, I have counterparts in the UK, and whenever they speak to me, I kind of mirror them and try to speak British sometimes.
Really?
And they hate it. They hate it all the time.
They're like, did you just become English?
Yeah, they're like, is that your best version of this? And I was just like, yeah, but I'm working on it. They're like, it sucks. So I was like, thank you. You do too.
I'm trying here, shit.
Yeah, I like it.
That's so interesting. I think like the hardest thing for me is like when I warm up to people, I can mirror them and do all that stuff. But like breaking into like, okay, do they like me? How are they responding? Like, I feel like I feed off of people's energy. I think that's something I need to work on, is like not giving a shit.
Yeah. When we think of this world, I think there's this book, is To Sell as Human. So like we're always selling as humans. Like mm-hmm. we're always trying to get our point across or trying to succeed or trying to interact at a level. So we're always selling. And the number one thing is to be confident, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what body language says. Some people do that fake like triangle confident pose, you know, like
never do that.
Politicians and speakers do that. Now listen here. Ah, and they do that. Like, that's kind of a faux confidence, but
it almost seems forceful, right? So yeah. It's almost like they're putting pressure on them, on their own hands to like, to keep them from doing other things. It's almost like a distraction.
It's almost kind of like comedic, though.
They say it's to keep you focused and grounded. That's like kind of like a focus and a grounded little deal. So then they could just keep their thoughts going and not get sidetracked, which I can understand. I just don't know. It's kind of like the chicken and the egg deal. I don't know if you do that to get confidence or if you're confident you do that. Don't really know.
Well, on another note, you're talking about in politicians and leaders and stuff like that. You'll notice that a lot of past presidents, the way that they speak with whenever they're speaking, and they'll use closed hand gestures in one way. So just like a lightly closed fist with the pointer knuckle kind of leading. I think that Obama used to speak
Barry
that
was
way.
Good at that.
So who is it?
Barry. Barack Obama.
Yeah. So
his close friends call him Barry.
Whatever.
So, Chaz and I are like, what?
Yeah, Barry O.
So he definitely, you know, that's something that a lot of leaders and a lot of speakers learn, is because it shows strength, but like a kind strength, because it's not a tight fist. You're not speaking with anger. You're speaking with like an open fist, but you're still directing.
Right. And it's happy medium, because you're not pointing, because people don't like people who point. So you bring that finger in and you just leave with that little knuckle.
There you go.
I
think smiling is also a big one. And smiling also like tricks you into like feeling more positive too.
Yeah.
It's really hard to smile when you talk. I really try hard to do that.
Oh, one thing about our hand gestures, since we're on the subject of it. in the Navy in boot camp, RDCs, the recruit instructors basically, right? So there's 90 people and then there's two or three of them. And they're the ones that are yelling and kicking and throwing shit, right? So they always point with an open hand at you. So all fingers are pointing at you. And they call it a knife hand. And so this is a thing across Navy, Marines. I don't know about Army or other branches, but I know that Marines and Navy, for fact, they all point with a knife hand. So there's something about whenever you're in a situation like that, and then they're in this role of leadership anyways, and they're demoting you so much that they're pointing at you with their entire hand. It's supposed to do something to you mentally. It really does.
Like make you feel, what they break you down to build you up, right?
Exactly.
I just felt that way right now at the table as you were demonstrating. I was like, why is he berating me? I feel lesser than for sure. But going back on.
Questioning all our thoughts right now.
It is hard to smile when you're talking, but that's one of my interviewing tips when I tell people on the phone, is to smile before you talk, because it just lightens you up and makes you speak clearly. And also don't ever be afraid to ask them to repeat their question too. Because two things. One, they like to hear it back. And two, it helps you slow down your brain and you can answer better.
So you don't think that it implies that you weren't listening well enough?
Mm-mm, not at all. I also have a pen and pad and write it down too. It doesn't imply anything, because at that point, they're just wanting to know the answer, and it implies that you heard them. And so if you repeat exactly back what they say, they're like, yeah, you're listening. Also helps you just answer the question, because a lot of times people don't answer the question. So I think I don't do it every question they ask.
They're like, cool, okay, right. Got it.
You'll be that annoying spelling bee person that says, can you repeat that? Use it in a sentence. Can I get a synonym?
It's so funny how people can hear if you're smiling.
Yeah.
Like, they can hear in your voice. And it also lightens the mood.
Yeah. How do you get by?
I don't know. I'm trying to smile more. It sucks.
It sucks when you have that resting bee face.
It sucks. Well, so when I was living in Sydney, I made friends with a bunch of these pageant girls, and they would smile when they talked. And I was so fascinated. Like my friends Ruby and Alexis. And I was like, what the fuck? And I would just try to practice it. And I kind of got it for a while. Then I forgot again when I moved back to the U.S. It's like, I don't know, maybe the beach life made me happier. True. But yeah, they were like really good at it. And I know for pageants, they have to smile all the time.
Yeah.
And it made them just look more like bubbly. Except when they were like clearly stressed out and their smile was like frowning, but they were like stuck in a smile. That was rough.
So, we had the same reaction. That.
So I'm wondering though, like, did they also just answer questions very, like,
they were very well spoken.
Peace. No.
No.
So it wasn't like American pageants.
Yeah, I feel like in Australia they're a bit more open minded about lots of topics, or at the time.
to be fair, the U.S. pageants are changing now that they're challenging social justice issues. They're saying a lot of other different things now because, you know,
the world is changing.
I don't watch it enough to know that.
Well, there's a new, I mean, the same person's not over them as who used to be over them, too. So
he's busy.
Yeah. You never know why the changes happen.
Gotcha.
Another one is don't fidget. Don't be too stiff. To learn the truth, I think I just said this, watch people's feet.
God, it's so hard not to fidget, though. Like, if you're in an uncomfortable position, like, if you're just in interviews, period, or if you're especially in group interviews, and so if you're not a good at speaking in front of people, and then you're put into a group interview situation, which I know I'm going to have to go up for dental school, I have to be in a room full of people with an interview. So I have to practice on this, but it's so hard not to fidget because you're already nervous because you're in an interview. Now you're in front of a bunch of random strange people. And so now you're giving this interview in front of everybody.
Yeah.
It's even worse. Yeah. So it's really hard not to fidget. You know, rub your pants or touch your hands or, you know, anything.
That sounded like you were about to talk about a dance.
Shake.
Rub your pants. Shake your hands.
I know, like, we can make a song. Down on the dance.
Hey, we can do it.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, always practice in front of a mirror. Always practice.
What is it? Toastmasters? Is that what it's called? That you can practice speaking? There's like a bunch of them all over Houston.
That is one, yeah. And there's a lot of different things that do that. Same thing with fidgeting too, like in not just in the professional world, but like personal, like when you're on a date or hanging out with people. What I call fidgeters are people that always are grabbing their phone, always need to look at their phone, can't just sit still and make eye contact and just be at peace.
Yeah.
It's just because we're just used to being so busy.
That's why drinks help.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Social settings.
They can definitely, or make things worse. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, not too much of a drink, just like one or two. I feel like the best business talk, or like, I don't know, creative talk for me, it's like over like one or two drinks.
I've always had the best discussions about anything of importance over at least one margarita.
Anything I get very creative.
I feel like what
there's something about
like
the tequila I think that just brings out important talk.
Mm.
Some people can't deal with tequila though.
Well, that's why you. I mean,
have your
you can't take your
but
clothes
like,
off.
Well,
but
for business, people like meet up for like a drink or something. Tequila makes people's clothes come off sometimes. So how could this be like used in dating situations? Do you guys have any situation in which?
The power of persuasion or body language or both.
Mm-hmm. Like, what's any turnoffs for body language? Hunched back.
Oh, God, I'm so bad at it. I have terrible posture. Yeah, look at it. We're all slunched over except for Derek. Derek's the only one that's standing up.
That's because I'm the new me. I'm the Hollywood version of me because I hated my voice and I feel like my posture was first and I had to work on clearing my voice. So now when I hear myself on the podcast, I don't hate myself.
Hey, I've seen this little device that you like. You stick it on your back, and it has like a gyroscope in it or something.
Yeah.
And so it shocks you or something to make you kind of sit up straight.
Like a dog collar?
Kind of, yeah. But it's supposed to train you to fix your
I
feel like that's kind of cool. I actually kind of want to get it and try it.
I just had
off topic.
But. A German board school teacher just sit with me and just slap me every time I slouch. So I think that works about the same.
Yeah, but I don't have the money for a German board school teacher. So.
Neither do I, interesting enough.
I'm so confused.
So I think, I know what your question is, and sorry to get off topic.
Get off topic all you want.
Well, again, like mirroring is not just like also about interest as well. So if someone's saying this is what I like to do, asking people questions about them.
People love when you ask questions about them.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
It just makes you feel like you're interesting, and desired enough to be known, which is cool. And that's like the number one thing in networking is not what can you do for me, but what can I do for you? So showing interest in other people. I think there's another quote out there, Lyle, that you mentioned earlier that was similar to that.
Oh, yeah. It was you can make more friends in 2 months by becoming interested in other people than you can in 2 years by trying to get other people interested in you.
It's a hell of a quote.
It's a great quote.
Hell yeah. I wonder if somebody really did that study. Like, all right, I'm going to, for 2 years, going to give people to see if they're
okay,
interested
so
in me.
It's actually from the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People.
People, yeah. We had to read that my first year that I was recruiting at Aerotech, Allegis Group. Hey, whoop, I hate that place, but it taught me a lot. It taught me a lot, but yeah, we had to read that book.
Was it good? I want to read it.
Yeah, it's actually really good. I own it, so, I mean, you can check it out of my library.
I feel like I've read The Power of Persuasion forever ago, but I feel like I need to reread it.
You didn't persuade me that you read it right now with that statement.
I know. I'm like, what is the name of it again? I have like so many books. But yeah, I think that's a great quote. People like talking about themselves. They really do.
Yeah.
And what do we say about
I've
dating?
I've noticed. Yeah.
No, go for it. No. That was our first ever, like, we talked at the same time.
Was it?
Yeah.
That's a milestone.
Should we cheers for that? I just tweeted it.
You're on Twitter.
I am on the Tweetverse. I told you that's where I get my news from.
Oh, gosh. Yes, you did.
It's one of my hashtags.
Not
my,
on the gram.
In my goodbye gram post.
I got you. Oh, shit. I already forgot what I was saying now. You might
okay,
as well
so BBC.
What we were saying about, like, somehow, sometimes dating, though, is also, like, not necessarily the true version of you just yet, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're still trying to persuade someone to like you. And the best way is just learning if you like them at the same time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you let people, it's levels, right? That's one of my little sayings is you let people in slowly and surely. And so you're really just filling people out. So I think the best way to do it is just see if you like somebody first, because I always want to not like someone first versus them find out that they don't like me first. So that's why I ask questions, because like, this is not going to work. And they're going to like, wait, I don't know anything about you. Exactly. And I walk away.
Yeah.
Every time.
I think it's interesting. Like, it's a good way to like observe and watch people to see like how they talk about people and other things. What is going on?
Yeah, everybody sees movies and stuff where, you know, it's the date, it's the first date or second date, and then the guy's just like talking about himself. So I've never been that person. I've always been the person that's like asked the questions mm-hmm. and triggered more speaking from the other person. And honestly, in from my view, I actually get to see whether that person catches on and whether they come back and say, you know what?
Yeah.
What's going on with you? We're talking too much about me. So
it's hard to be a good listener, I think.
Yeah.
People don't know how to listen, or they're trying to think of what to say next while you're talking.
Oh, that's
there's
the
not.
Worst.
Yeah. There's not always something to tell somebody. Like, yeah. Sometimes people just want you to listen.
Mm-hmm. I hate active listeners. People that are like always need to comment in between like you're talking. Because sometimes it throws your rhythm off of talking, like the people are like, uh-huh, yeah, and then try to like almost finish your sentences sometimes. So mom, if you're listening, can you please stop active listening to me? I appreciate it.
Or you're like, I didn't finish my sentence, but you just finished for me. Am I talking too slow? Like, this is weird. Make me second guess everything.
They're trying to overcompensate for, rather than just like having a normal conversation where we're relaxed and we're talking about mm-hmm. it, they're trying to compensate by saying, yeah, I'm paying attention to you. You know, so that's what they're doing.
It's almost fake sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I agree with that.
It's not authentic.
Mm-hmm. Have y'all heard that, like, people that, like, if you ask someone a question and if they make any movements with their left hand, like touch their left ear or anything like that, that they could be lying?
No.
I've heard that if you look up
to the
you're
left,
lying.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I feel that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Certain things like that.
I feel like conversations are going to be so stressful now after this conversation, because I'm going to be like, why are your eyes
oh my God.
Looking that way?
Right. But just like when you left Australia, you'll forget it in just a bit and come back to normal.
My memory. It's like a fish. First problem of communication is getting people's attention is another quote. Work to make the core message more interesting. So I get to the point, I guess, is what that means.
Mm. Heck yeah.
So you need to have that elevator pitch locked in.
Short and sweet, I think, is the way to go.
You got to capture, though, you know?
Yeah. I hate people just, like, stretch things on forever, and you're like, what are you getting at? There's too many people like that. And then you're like, I want to talk. And then they start something else, and you're like, but I didn't get to finish what I wanted to say about that last thing.
Yeah. Yeah. They're so eager to fucking jump in. And then whenever people... I'm just kidding. Derek wanted to say something, and I was just kidding.
No, I like it because I can see it in your eyes that you guys really feel this topic there. So I agree with that. And when she says get to the core message pretty soon, ladies, that does not mean hey, I know this is first date, but do you want to marry me? I just want to get straight to it. It's more so about like, what are your intentions? Like, is this just like date to see where it goes?
It was like the first date?
Yeah. But I was just kind of going back to that. We were just talking about dating. Yeah. I mean, you could take it anywhere from marketing to advertising or whatever. I hate dating. But
I feel like dating is the worst, like blind dates and stuff.
Dating is so
fun. It can be super awkward.
Yeah. Like you, or getting set up on a date. Like, how does one even act?
Yeah. I like dating because I like to meet new people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had one thing I wanted to ask. What is like the a sign of like a socially awkward person? Because sometimes I wonder if I'm socially awkward because like I get stuck in my own thoughts sometimes and I don't know what the fuck's going on. And then I feel like I'm an awkward person.
Whenever you're thinking too much in your mind, I feel like that's what creates a socially awkward person, maybe. Yeah. But I feel like whenever you get it inside your head and you start thinking and you can't get out of it and be in the moment, that's whenever you create like socially awkward moment, you know?
Or, I don't know, I feel like sometimes I've seen people, they just like pick out too many things and they're like too argument. They want to argue too much.
Those are just know-it-alls, right?
Yeah, but yeah. I feel like that's like, you're not really socially, like, it could be.
Yeah, I think there's levels. I think there's levels to being socially awkward. I mean, what's the norm that you can just interact and without any tension or apprehension, just smoothly, both internal and external? So, like, socially awkward could be the aggressive side of someone that just, oh, no, let me tell you about my point more. Even though I hear you, let me tell you about my experience or my point, like the me person, right? Mm-hmm. And then you got the other side of the social awkward person that's just not saying anything and just in a corner and probably saying, oh, should I talk now or whatever? Oh, that person's cute. How do I look? I feel fat. You know, that person too. So yeah. I think there's levels to it all. I, at times, get socially awkward. And I think when I get socially awkward, it's because I've thought about this specific situation. And now that it's happening, I don't think I want to be the person who I imagine myself to be. So now I'm stuck, like, between who I think I am and who I really am. And then
it goes right back to what I was just saying. Yeah. You're stuck inside your head in this like little loop where you're thinking, okay, well, what can I do to fix that? And so now you're going through these thought processes instead of being involved in what's happening and just moving on.
Then I just say something weird and just leave.
Oh, there you go. If I'm uncomfortable, sometimes I make sound effects.
Wow.
So I'm like,
that's awesome.
She does.
So I'll be
this is great.
I'm like, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. Like, I don't know. Even my old boss was like, are you making noises? I'm like, or like, I don't know. It was just like, fill the space.
It's good to know.
What was that?
That's good to know the signs.
I don't even, like, I can't even say what the sounds are because I don't even notice it anymore.
Yeah, that's great.
But like Tyler, when he was here, he's like, did you just like meow or something?
a full on meow.
To give you credit, I've never heard you meow. But
sometimes I want a soundtrack because, like, I'm always complaining about, like, okay, it's so quiet.
I want my own soundtrack too.
Yeah, I'd like to bring.
I can't put mine.
That's why I'm always listening.
Mine's probably weird, for sure. Because I live alone and have lived alone for forever. Drive alone, fly alone. I'm just forever alone. I have so many sounds.
Do you think when you're like in? When you can't be alone, will you like need time to recharge? Like if you're in a serious relationship and that person wants to be with you all the time.
Oh yeah, we have to have some type of own life space. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like
especially like at first to like ease into it.
I mean, at first I think we could. I mean, hopefully at first we don't leave the bed.
I'm telling you, BDSM guys.
No, but at first, I mean, you want that honeymoon phase where you really lock it in. Like for me, I really need a girl just to like me really quickly. So she doesn't leave me ever. But it balance is key. I mean, and you want balance as soon as you can. So.
I think you should rethink that because a lot of girls I've noticed, they wonder when the guys like wants to like be all like up your ass at first. And then they get shocked when the guy's like, okay, I want a little bit of space. Like if you read the book, Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus, like women and men have to like retreat back to their cave. And I don't know how true this book is, but like they'll be like with you all the time and the girl gets used to it. And then you're like, okay, I got to do my own thing. And then girls are like, what do you mean?
He doesn't like me anymore.
Yeah, they start thinking all this crazy stuff.
Yeah.
So if you ever like have that little honeymoon phase and then things go bad, just think that maybe
to be fair,
happening.
If you rewind the tape 57 seconds, I did say you want to achieve balance as soon as possible. Right after I said I would like her to like me.
Okay.
You can tell I'm joking when I use different voices.
So not leaving the bed.
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, that's kind of true. But
so So achieve balance at the beginning.
Yeah, as soon as possible.
I'm like so confused right now.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Both of you.
I feel like that was really deep.
I did hear him say that. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
I go on rant sometimes and I don't know what I'm talking about.
No, you were just you were just thinking about your
answer. It's just your social awkwardness. That's all. You were just trapped inside your head.
I was thinking like, what about my friends when they're like, oh, we're hanging out all the time. And then the guy's like not there now suddenly. And then they usually break up or it falls off.
Well, no, that is true. It happens.
It does.
Yeah. Basically, you spend a lot of time together and then the girl gets used to it. And then the guy is like, no, fuck that. I need to go watch sports and like drink beer and talk about girls and shit. And that's what happens. Not always, but you know.
And sometimes it's the other way around. Guys get like attached and the girl's like, I'm busy.
I feel like that kind of depends on your personality type as well.
Very true. So and maybe like your baggage or your history or what you're looking for. Like, man, humans are so interesting, aren't we?
Yeah, and I think it's important.
Sometimes
if you're busy,
I wish I'd rather be something else.
Like a llama.
Oh God, I really like llamas. I want a pet llama.
What the fuck? I want to put balloons in my pet llama. Do I have to stop? Can I not say that?
I also think like I'm a firm believer in like if you're busy, you should date somebody who's busy too.
Yeah. Mm,
so, but how does that create balance?
Well, because if you're busy, too busy for them, they don't really understand. So they're like waiting around to hang out with you. Yeah. You want like an equal level of busy.
But busy doesn't last.
Or somebody who has like different projects or hobbies.
Sorry, that was me being the socially awkward person giving you my truth.
Or if they don't understand because they're like, well, I want to hang out. Like, yeah. I need more time.
Right.
You have to have like the same kind of, I guess, idea of the way you want to live your life.
Mm-hmm. I think I was in a relationship like that too. And I was just like, listen, lady, I've given you 3 hours this whole week. What more do you want from me? You know, I felt the same way.
That's like barely a movie.
Oh.
It's like terrible. A contract. It's like, okay, so I can give you X amount of hours a week.
So you're saying?
You may not be the best boyfriend.
Oh, man. I've not heard that ever before. See, I said it in the voice. I was joking.
Alrighty. So I'm like, alrighty. Mm-hmm. Anything you guys would like to add before we end today's episode?
I'll just say this. Power of persuasion, body language. It is an art and a science, and like anything, it could be manipulated. So everything we say is not necessarily the letter of the law, because people have learned how to manipulate things, right? People, for instance, your pageant girls always smiling, but that doesn't mean they're always happy, right? When they're saying it, that's just the more beautiful way to say what they're saying. Mm-hmm. Same with people with confidence. Sometimes someone that seems confident isn't necessarily confident. They're just masking, right? Mm-hmm. So I think when you think about persuasion, when you think about body language, you know, intuition is really big in a lot of things, right? And there's nothing new under the sun. So you just got to watch and learn and just hope that people is as genuine as you are. But because we've all been in relationships, we know people lie and hurt you a lot of times. So nothing's guaranteed.
Yeah, I think it's important to learn how to like observe people and kind of get a feel and like learn how to, you know, respond. And intuition, I mean, it's tough for a lot of people though, so you can research it, I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
You really know.
Good luck out there, guys. And don't forget to hit us up so you can go to that concert with Chaz DJing and spinning. And we're going to be dancing, selling pasties and everything.
Yes, and pasties are, if you guys want to buy our pasties, we are sold at Soho Memorial and the pop-up co-op in West Ave, and then of course hmpb.com. You can get your pasties. You can subscribe to our box, which is monthly, and you can pick out 3 pasties every month and change it up. So check us out.
Sweet.
Bye everyone.
Bye.